Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores. You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy. But Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Welcome to Lakes United We Stand podcast. I'm Andy Mitten. I'm in a bar in Houston, Texas. It's absolutely roasting outside. United plays City today. You'll probably be listening to this after the American leg of the pre-season. And so I won't know the final results. But I'm in a bar with quite a few lads from Manchester. Who've come over. Some of the lads have been via a holiday in Las Vegas. Everyone's got slightly different plans. Some are doing the full tour, some are not. And I'm speaking with four lads who've come together. I'm going to ask them some questions about supporting United, because these are lads who've been following United for 40, 50 years. And this podcast, of course, is brought to you by RedArmyBet.com. It's a new betting site where some of the proceeds are given back to United Fan Project, so check that out, redarmybet.com. First question, lads. I want you to introduce yourself, first of all, to listeners of this United We Stand podcast. What is the most dangerous place you've been to while watching Manchester United? So, introduction and then answer.
Mouse from Mouse Play. One of the ones I found was Newcastle. In the late 70s, early 80s, had two lads with us, Sam Smart, Gary Thompson, Coco, Andy Owen and what have you. We got chucked out, there's about 15 of us, no disrespect, but there weren't many black faces in them days up that area. And we got sort of a bit of a tussle outside, the police came, escorted us back down to the cattle market, and then that was it then.
So you got thrown out of St James's Park, there's 50 of you, Manchester lads, there's a couple of black lads among the United lads. They didn't really exist in Newcastle at that time, and there's loads of them waiting for you, and they chased you back into the town.
Well, they didn't chase us, we had a tussle outside, and then we got escorted into the cattle market on the way down to the town.
And of all the time watching United, that has been the roughest place you've seen. How many Newcastle were there?
A couple of hundred. But when you say the worst place, well, there's loads. We all have our own thoughts on what was bad. Liverpool away used to be bad in the 70s and 80s.
Why?
Just because the Scousers and the tribalry was there at the end of the day. We're all tribal to an extent, that's what football's all about.
So when you go to Liverpool, you catch the train to Lime Street and then you make your way up to Anfield?
Yeah, we have a few pints in the city centre, Weatherspoon and what have you. Either we're getting taxis to the ground or we're mooch up there on the buses, down the taxis now, men of a certain age, shall I say. But in them days, it wasn't that, was it? You got marched from Lime Street up Scotty Road, marched back down, etc, etc.
And they had the knives and everything, didn't they, at that time?
Oh yeah, of course they did. They had the stabbers, you know what I mean? But each club had their own, for want of a better word. No different than any other club, but because United was a big scalp, they used to come out.
Worst place you've seen watching United, most dangerous place. Introduction.
John Boyle from one side. There's many, many places that have been rough, but one particular one for me, the year he was banned, we took no tickets. I think it was 78, 79. United never took any tickets because they thought West Ham away that year. Really bad day that. All the way on the tube, obviously no United together, just spotting faces in ones and twos. The minute we got off the tube, Upton Park, they picked us off. Obviously, we never massed near the ground because we didn't have an end to go in. In the end of 30, there's some Cockneys, well known Cockneys. We ended up in a little paddock there at West Ham, chased out of the ground by half time.
Yeah.
Beat 3-0. Battered a couple of times, proper bad day out that. I mean, that particular memory is one of my worst. I was young then, but still scared, terrified.
You just couldn't stay in the ground?
Couldn't stay in the ground.
Just too dangerous.
Well, they scored the first two goals and then we never cheered, and that was it. After that point, we just got chased out of the ground.
You had to get back to Houston?
I had to get back to Houston, yeah.
Introduction. Paul Whiteside, Blakely, Manchester. Sir, most dangerous place you've been with United?
There's quite a few actually, but for me it's got to be Leeds.
Which year?
I can't remember the year, but I'm going back into the 90s.
What about the first time they came up in August 1990? There was a lot of trouble then.
That could have been the year.
When they were promoted.
It was in the 90s when they used to park the coaches at the back of the Leeds end.
Yeah.
And you have to escort you through the
under the motorway.
Under the motorway. The police didn't give a monkeys. You know, they just said, there's your turnstile, you go and find it. You know, and you've got 300 or 400 Leeds in front of you. What do? You've got to walk. And it wasn't pretty anyway that day.
I remember that year going to Leeds for the first time, walking under that motorway, the 602. There were Leeds fans singing YRA, were Yorkshire Republican Army. I was a young lad, I came out the tunnel, I wasn't a fighter, I'm not a fighter, and I went, Manchester! I didn't even get the full word out, and someone had chinned me. I was on the floor, and I got in the ground in the Lowfield roadside, and I was at dazed because I'd never been smacked at football before. But I swear after 20 minutes I didn't know which way United were attacking. So Leeds away.
Yeah, I'm giving them definitely. I don't know.
Where's a bad place that you've been to? Over the years, following United, where's a dangerous place? Abroad or in England? Whereabouts abroad? An introduction first.
Barry Nelson from Earlham.
Yeah. Are you from Earlham?
Yeah.
I'm from Urmston, we're rivals.
Yeah, yeah.
Over the canal.
Yeah, connect.
I remember my dad playing for Urmston Town against Earlham Town in an FA Cup game in 85, and it was not for the faint-hearted. We shouldn't be speaking here.
No.
We live a mile apart. Yeah. But you've got Salford accents, and you can't say Cherry where you're from, can you? You say Cheddar.
I'm Salford, though.
Cheddar.
Cheddar.
Yeah. I ran over the locks last week. I ran into Earlham.
Yeah. I live over the locks.
Earlham had a great team in the mid 80s. Silver Street was beautiful. So where were United? A dangerous place abroad. Did you go to Roma in 07?
I did, yeah. I was there.
Were you near the bridge in Roma in 07?
I was actually at the cafe bit at the bottom before the bridge.
Yeah.
With a little snap bar, but I wasn't involved in the trouble. But he was dodgy.
Anywhere else? Where would be a...
One of the worst ones was in, I forget the year, was 80. Chirin, I was only about 18. Chirin, 83. Was it semi-final? The old Chirin ground. Then was throwing all sorts of blood oranges. I don't know if it was blood oranges, but bottles of piss. I was only about 18 at the time. That's probably one of the scariest places I've been at the time. It was dodgy at the time around there.
What is your lowest moment watching Manchester United? I mean, you've been going for over half a century, some of you.
For me, getting relegated in 74.
Why?
I was devastated.
Yeah?
I was only 13. I went to the game. I mean, all that talk about City putting United down, I mean, that was rubbish anyway.
Yeah, it was not true.
It wasn't true anyway, because obviously it was Birmingham, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They Birmingham had to lose. I don't know, just as a kid, 13 years of age, my first derby on my own with my mates. I was remember getting a bus back up to Blakely 17, I was crying on the bus.
Was ya?
The bloke said, I always remember the ticket inspector in them days, he had on the bus, didn't he? I always remember him saying, don't worry about it, lads. they'll be back next season than he was. Well, that was my lowest point, without a doubt.
Been a lot of low points. Those are good high points, but for me, 6-1 Derby defeat against City. I mean, it's recent. I back up what Paul says there about relegation. Rather losing to Southampton in the first cup final at Wembley, that was pretty hard to take for the kid. But 6-1 defeat, it's etched on my brain. I'll never get out of the system. Got loads of blue mates and all, and even now I still get stick about it. Every time them goals go in, time I see it on the telly, it's worse than the Aguero goal against QPR. It just kills me, Andy. It's just a, just a terrible day, that. Shocking day.
And your part of Manchester is more red or blue?
I'd say long. I drink it Longside, from Longside. That's possibly red. But Gorton wear a booze. And I'd say there's a few more blues in the pubs than there is red.
Yeah.
And obviously they love to remind me about that, the 6-1.
And they have that song, don't they? Could have been 10.
Oh, they have lots of songs. That is one of them, yeah, I'll give them that. Yeah. They've got good humour, the Manx, aren't they? I'll give them that, but they're forever rubbing it in my face, and I give them loads, but for me, that's mine, Andy. I'll never forget that day. Horrible day at the office. Horrible.
Yeah. Lowest moment?
My lowest moment, any time the Scousers beat us, especially at Old Trafford. I don't like losing, especially not against Liverpool. It's what we are, we're United, we shouldn't get beat against Liverpool, especially when Gerrard scored that goal the other year. And then blowing kisses to the camera, just done my head in a bit.
So you'd see Liverpool as our main rivals over City?
I wouldn't say they're our main rivals, no. I think they're a bigger club than City at the end of the day. I think we're our own enemies. No one can touch United. We're out in front of them all, and I think we've got good buys. We've just had a bit of a dip, a bit of a blink, whatever you want to call it. We never went away. We didn't have a dip like we did a few years back. We're there, and I think we'll stay there now and come back stronger.
Lowest moment following the Reds?
Sunderland away.
What year?
3 years, was it? When
Saturday? Oh, yeah, yeah. So you were there in the ground?
Going, well, the worst thing was going to the game knowing you're not going to win the league because QPR aren't going to beat them. Getting absolutely bladdered and out of the pool. Going to the game, probably the drunkest I've been at an away game for a long time. Then winning the league, because bloody we won the league, and then losing it. But then the best thing, going out of Greg's testimonial the day after, to miss all the...
So you went from Sunderland to Belfast for Greg's testimonial to miss City celebrating the town.
No, it's going anyway, but that's the best thing that could have happened. Because we were at Greg's testimonial for 3 days. And obviously missed all the hype with City.
Because they were celebrating in town. They had like nearly 600 fans out in town.
Yeah. We probably had more than that in Belfast, but there you go. But no, that was my worst ever. And I'm not a...
Who is the greatest player that you have ever seen playing for Manchester United, and why?
Tough question, this, Andy. Very tough. Recent times have been some great players. Ronaldo was without saying.
You're only allowed to choose one.
If I had to pick one, for me, it'd be Brian Robson, because I thought a great player in an average United team, to be truthful. I thought he carried us and England solely on his own, 10 years. And he could do everything. I mean, you know, he was just a beast around the pitch. You know, you look at Keane, see all the attributes these great players they talk about, and Robson had them all. He could head, tackle, run, get up and down the pitch, scored vital goals. I don't know how many great goals he won games for us. For me, Robson, I mean, yeah, he's not your glamour, he's not your best, you know, but that's where I'd like to be, Brian Robson for me.
Greatest United player?
Mate, George Best, without a doubt. Just thought he had everything as a footballer. Good head, pass with his left foot, right foot, he had the ball, he could tackle. He just had everything. I mean, you know, you look at the pictures in them days when he was playing them. You know, some of them pictures in them days, like mud baths. You know, and I mean, he was a genius on there, so what would he be like playing on the pitches they have today? I just thought he's four. I'm also a big fan of Paul Scholes. I'm a real big Paul Scholes fan for me. He's probably about the best, better than Giggs, I think. Better than Ronaldo. I just think he's a better all round player than all of them.
Best ever United player?
There's been quite a few over the years, but I'll go for Ronaldo. Ronaldo's one of them players where he gets you off your seats, gets you excited, gets your heart pumping, and whatever you think about him, every great player has an attitude. and he's got that attitude, and he's proved it and proved it and proved it with his goal scoring feats, but also his work rate, the training regime he must do to be as fit as what he still is. So for me, he just gets the crowd excited, and you can tell that the crowd at Old Trafford, especially the Stretford End where I sit, still chant his name on a regular basis. One of the all-time greats.
Greatest player.
Cantona, just for the reason he was the final piece that we won the Premiership for me. I've been in the 80s. All we had was the FA Cup. And, you know, just for that reason, really, I just thought he was the final piece that we won it. And it's a bit we didn't win the European Cup with him, but I just... Cantona, that's the only reason, really, just because he just broke that.
Yeah.
We won the Premiership, and he was just the final. I don't know. Final piece.
We've talked about the past. Let's talk about the present. How are you feeling about Manchester United going into this season under Mourinho with the signings? Think there'll be an improvement on last season? What's the mood at the moment? What are your opinions about?
Yeah, big improvement, definitely, without a doubt. Mourinho, he'll have him sorted. Great manager. I know there's all that rivalry when he was at Chelsea, but I mean, that's all part of football, isn't it? You know, but he knows his plans, Mourinho. He'll get him working. I don't think they were that far off last year, actually, to be truthful. You look at all them games that we drew at Old Trafford. Unbelievable. I mean, you win the 80-90% of them games, could have won the league. So, you know, I think it's looking good for United this season.
How are you feeling? Which players will it be an important season for?
I think Lukaku is massive. He's got to perform from game one. I think he'll under the pressure. I think that's a massive thing for United. I think players coming United just don't realise what it's like. 76,000 people every week. We've got the manager. For me, he'd have been the choice after Ferguson. I don't know, there's something on behind. Mourinho's made us an hard team to beat again. We look solid at the back. I just worry sometimes offensively. But maybe Lukaku will be the thing. He's like never let us down. Maybe there might be another sign in the pipeline, but I'm confident. I think we'll do well this year. Definitely. I think we're hard to beat. We just need to be able to kill games off, kill matches off. That's what worries me. Just that. I thought Lukaku was a little last piece of the jigsaw, but only time will tell.
Really positive. I mean, at the end of the day, Mourinho's no mug. But I think what he gets is United's DNA. United's DNA is attack, attack, attack. 4-4-2, 4-3-3, whatever you want to call it. We had a few drab years with Moyes and Van Gaal. I think Mourinho gets the DNA. Bought some good players. I think we can move forward. I think we will move forward. I think we're still holding a bit of baggage that he's got to get rid of. But he knows what he is. He's a strong manager. We've got strong personalities now in the dressing room. And I have no doubt we'll be challenging for the Premiership, if not a double this year.
Top two. I think he's an even semi-final at Champions League. I think we'll do really good at Champions League this year. Really do. He was always the one I always said that after Ferg anyway. Bruno was the only one you could get. The others were just I don't know, in between. But I'm positive this year. I reckon we'll be a lot better than it has been. It's been some.
What's your greatest moment as a Manchester United fan? In all the time, if you had to pick a moment, maybe it's a game or maybe it's just a moment, what would that moment be? Greatest moment as a United fan? Who wants to go first on this one? Let's pick a game. We spoke the other day.
I think we're all going to say one thing, aren't we?
Well, the other day we talked and that game in Turin actually came out on top. But maybe that the question to that was the greatest ever game. So if you're all going to say winning the treble, maybe I'll ask you if something different. And
yeah, that's a part I forgot about that actually. Yeah, because I was ready to leave when we was 2-0 down.
What, you were going to leave the ground after 11 minutes?
It was devastating. Just couldn't see any way back. You know? Yeah, I was going to leave, yeah. But once we got that goal and then dawned on that we only need another goal and we're in the box seat, aren't we? So I've come to my senses in the end. I stayed in, yeah. I forgot about that, to be truthful, because it's always the treble on your mind, isn't it? And that's For me, yeah, it's a good call that, yeah. The Turin semi-final, yeah, it's a good call that, yeah.
Greatest moment as a Red?
I suppose it's easy to give the obvious ones, all the European Cups, but mine is, it was 2-0 down at Main Road.
Yeah.
And came back 3-2 and Roy Keane. Even better because we were sat in the main stand surrounded by about 300 Berties who were giving us loads of abuse. And on the telly where you see Keane slide over on his knees, he actually sees us all jump up, there's about 30 of us. For me, it's that by a mile. Because being a Manchester lad and having so many Blue friends, growing up with loads of Blues, for me, it was that.
So that was November 93. We played at Galatasaray midweek.
That's right.
And been knocked out of Europe.
That's right.
Did any of you go to Galatasaray?
Yeah.
Jesus, I'm with the hardcore here. Did any of you get locked up in Galatasaray?
Yes.
You all got locked up in Galatasaray. Right. Me too.
When I was at the derby, on the Saturday there, that was giving a Turkish delight in the ground.
Yes. Well, that was the point I was going to make was they were throwing Turkish delights on the pitch. You go into a 2-0 lead, we've had a terrible week, we've been to Turkey, we've not seen the game, and then they storm back with Keane and Cancelo.
Yeah, that was sat in the north stand. And I had them behind me, I needed all to give me the finger. And all I heard at our time was, we want five. And when that third one...
Because he beat us in the 5-1, hadn't he?
Yeah,
and he didn't
and when that third one went in, I looked around, they'd gone.
Maybe given the game we're about to watch tonight, we should do a greatest derby memories one, separate from that one. But greatest moment as a Red.
Every moment's a great moment being a United fan at the end of the day and being on trips like this. But what I will say is one of the greatest games I've ever saw from a personal point of view was West Brom at home, 5-3 in the League Cup, if you ever remember that. Laurie Cunningham and Cyril Regis played for West Brom. Gary Bailey was United goalkeeper and Gary Bailey was man of the match. It's one of the greatest games I've ever seen for pure football.
And that's the game that United lost.
That's right, correct.
They were that good. I'm too young for it. Were they that good?
Oh yeah. Fantastic. Red off.
Because that was Atkinson's side, wasn't it? And they had three black players up front. At a time when there were not many black players around. So if you ask Andy Cole who his hero is, he would say Cyril Regis. Because what he went through at that time. What was it like being in the crowd that day? Because I stood on the Stretford End as a kid and I heard a lot of racism. Suddenly you've got a team coming, or was race not a factor? Was the fact that it was just a brilliant football team?
Well, the fact is race was an issue because it was within the community where we all lived in those days, and you can't hide away from the fact. But I think on the night of that game, racism never came into it. You just seen them as footballers as what you should do, and it was far the better team on the evening, and it was just great to be there. Part of that, the atmosphere was rocking as always because it was a night game, but they battered us in a way. But it was 5-3, it was a cracking game.
What happened at the end? Did United fans they couldn't have applauded West Brom?
Oh, they did.
Really?
Yeah, they applauded. Sometimes you've got to do that, you've got to hold your hands up sometimes and appreciate good football like we did with Madrid at home when Ronaldo scored the hat-trick at the end of the day. We're not muppets out there, we love football. And we try ballistic in that we love United because of our past history or whatever. But when you see something like the attribute by Ronaldo and West Brom at home, then you've got to roll your hands up.
I never knew that they were applauded that day. They had a young Brian Robson, I think they did, and they had a Mancunian called Len Cantello playing for him. Brendan Batson. He went into the PFA, Tony Brown, Laurie Cunningham.
Statham, the left back.
Yeah. I did a do with Big Ron in December in Dublin, and I had to ask the questions in front of a live crowd, and he was drinking, and after like 90 minutes I just calmed down a little bit, Ron. Ron, he had like cocktails, his cocktail was like something. Alright Ron, just ease off on that one. But he's still got a very sharp mind, and you know he's
a moment. Well, I may as well say Barcelona. They might, you know, Munich sitting there with 2 minutes ago talking. We sat with five of us, more or less discussing. Let's go back to the Ramblers. Like we used to say, win or lose, have a booze, and that's basically what we was doing. You know, I'm not swear, but let's get back to the Ramblers, go on the booze, and then it happened. No, you can never.
So you're there. So you. Cause I would have thought one goal's enough for me. That was my thinking.
Well, we're actually sat behind the box, sat behind Fergie about 10 rows up. I've got Gannon and Licker to my right. there's five of us in a row. No, that's as far as them screens are, what's that, 10 yards away.
So when the first went in, what did you do?
Just, but we were still scoring, but the second, still cheering when the second one went in.
I've got goosebumps just thinking about it, and I don't relay it in my mind. I'm in that stadium every other week for work, and I just don't, it'll always be camped out.
I've been to the stadium for United, well, I don't know, 7 or 8 times over the years, but that night was just, you never
get them moments. Even back, because when the first goal went in, you were still celebrating, maybe you was on your ass on the floor getting picked up, and by the time you got up, you steadied yourself a little bit. Jesus, the next one's gonna, utopia, you couldn't make it up. It's what dreams are made of, you know what I mean? That's why we're Man United.
But even to walk down the Ramblers at 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in the morning and see bodies just in the fact, just everywhere, just bodies in the street, asleep or still cheering at 7 in the morning. You know, we stayed in Saluka, and it was just, I mean, we got to bed at 7:30 in the morning, got back to Saluka at 7:30 in the morning, you couldn't sleep, and then you're back up for 9.
The La Vanguardia, which is a very conservative Catalan paper, the next day, obviously they had the picture of the game, but they had a massive picture of a fountain just full of beer cans, and the headline was, "They are ugly, but they are good people." And I thought, you cheeky bastards.
Right.
But the gist of it was all really positive. And I heard so many stories that day. A friend of mine was on the metro to the ground, and a friend in Barcelona, he's not even a football fan, and he saw a United fan asleep on the train, and he's going to miss his stop, fast asleep. And he woke him up. Thanks for that, mate. You know, I would have missed the European Cup final. You were saying you've got a good story from the 26th of May 1999.
Yeah, there was. Trip was all planned, weren't we, Paul? There.
How did you get there from Manchester?
We flew to Girona, didn't we?
Yeah.
Girona, and we flew back to Leeds, Bradford. We couldn't get any flights. But going back to the story, planned the trip, everything. 2 days before the game, Mrs. gets rushed into labour, has my son, second child, premature, £1.12, 6 o'clock Monday night. But the baby's in the incubator, everyone's upset. So I said, right, obviously, I can't go Wednesday. She said, no, you go. I said, no, I'm not going. So he's another mate of mine, says, get rid of my flight. Didn't have a match ticket, be truthful. Get rid of my flight. So he gave me flight away. So Tuesday afternoon, I got to see my missus with her sister, and she says, you want to go, don't you, John? I went, you know I want to go. It's United, love. It's been my life since born in 1960. So she said, go. So now I've got to try and get my flight back off this lad for that night. So I sent my other mate all the way to Withenshaw to this Gary, this fireman. Got his flight back, and his mum says, you're out of order, you can't do that, you can't give it him and take him back, that's Indian giving. I said, I'm going to Barcelona. So when we had a game, obviously I was there, going through all the emotions we all went through, and I thought, oh, that pissing about me. My mate's like, oh, it doesn't matter, you've got him, there's another Doyle there and all that. And then just 2 minutes have just changed your life, man. Then 120 seconds. I mean, I get goosebumps to talk about it now. And like Neil said, we're still celebrating the first with loads of friends from years, Cockneys who we've known 30 years, and then the net just burst again, and that was it. It was just madness, wasn't it? It was incredible.
You don't think, you thought you never beat Barcelona in that, and I thought you never, but in a different way, Moscow was as good because we were so isolated, we couldn't walk around Moscow. We stayed in the Alps, I think, in Moscow, because everyone's not going to wander around Moscow after the game. Everyone went back to the Alpha, and it was just, I think it was built for the Olympics, the Alpha, I think, and we were drinking till 7:30 in the morning, and I always remember us, I think they had the lap dancing or the pole dancers on the 5th or 6th floor, and I've never seen lap dancers out of work who stood at the bar all night, no business whatsoever, because everyone was just sinking.
Really?
It was just amazing.
So even though everyone had a drink?
I've never seen not like it.
Unemployed lap dancers. We've had stories on here about unemployed nurses, but not unemployed lap dancers.
It was unreal. And they just never stopped singing all that, because everyone went back, you know, it's like, so it was a different feeling, if you know what I mean.
Tell us about some of the characters over the years. Maybe one character. You're saying that in camp now you've seen people you known for at the match for years. I'm sure you've seen lots of people come and go over the years, you know, and I'm sure you've got happy and very sad memories of different characters. Just tell us, because a lot of people listening to this will be younger. A lot of people will never even go to a United game. We have people listening to this all around the world. You lads are Manchester lads. You're very fortunate in some ways that you've been able to go to all of the games. And when I tell people abroad about some of the characters I've come across over the years, they actually don't believe me. If I say, like, Paraffin Pete, a man who used to sleep in fields.
That's what I'm
going to
say.
And you lads know more than me. Well, you tell us about Paraffin Pete. Imagine.
I always remember that. After every get on a Saturday, you go to the top of Warwick Road, he'd be there outside.
I'm away.
They're the phone box outside of Chipley. And he'd be, let's say it's West Ham the week after, away from home. He'd be there, Pete. And so they're ready to go, and he'd pull out a board on there with London written on it. And he'd be off to the M6 to get itch it all the way, you know. He'd sleep in, I remember he was, I think they were playing in London one Saturday, and he was at, I think it was some sort of charity game in Wales or something, or Swansea or something like that, I can't remember. And he got a lift off the Swansea branch. I heard, this is what I got told, that he was offered a roof over his head, but he chose not to take it and kicked in a phone box. And they also went to Southampton one time. I come out of Southampton train station, and I see this, all I can hear is, I've been here since Monday. And I just see this figure walking down the road in the rain, and it's Paraffin. He's been there since Monday, so I was having a chat with him. I said, what have you doing with yourself, Pete? Oh, I've walked to Winchester and back, 40 miles there, 40 miles back. No wonder his feet was killing him over the years, you know.
His whole life was dedicated to getting to United games, wasn't it?
Unbelievable, wasn't it? You know, you'd find it hard to believe, wouldn't you? But that's true.
And yet he was also really looked after by United fans.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, yeah, another one was a Brighton one. We went one year, and he'd been there in a few days when we got there in the early morning. I think I always remember there was a bar opened about 10 o'clock on the beach, you know, underneath in the arches that they used to have there. And I'd go in and say, what are you having, Pete? You know, you could eat anything he wants, you know, I'd say, what do you want, Pete? And he went, get us a Guinness. And that's all he'd say. He said, that'll feed me. So
the fans were going to chip in, buy him what he wants, and he wanted a Guinness. Tell us about another character from the game.
I'll tell you another Paraffin Pete story that's a classic, and it's a true one. I got arrested for fighting at Brighton in 1981, and then we drew him in the FA Cup.
You were arrested? Were you guilty? Was the arrest deserved?
Unfortunately, I must admit, in my wild days, yeah. Well, anyway, going back to the story, we drew Brighton in the Cup, we drew 2-0 at Old Trafford, and we got him in the replay. In this meantime, my court sentence comes up, so the cup tied me. It's a Man United fan cup tied from the Brighton replay.
And this was in the paper?
This was
in the
paper.
Brighton Argos.
And the Manchester Evening News.
So everyone's reading about you.
Painted and decorated along, right.
And what were your family saying when they're reading it?
My dad sort of just remembered it. He said, you know, lads will be lads, you do what you do. If that's what you want to do, you take the consequences. But anyway, Monday before the game, I think we played the replay on a Tuesday. And all we want to, you know, Paraffin rang me from Brighton. He went, all right, darling, with the dead squeaky voice. He went, all right, Peter, where are you? He went, I've been sleeping in a boat since Sunday. He said, will you bring me some sandwiches down in the car?
From Manchester to Brighton? He wanted you to bring some sandwiches.
He did, hadn't he? He said, will you put me down in the car?
Bless him.
Will you bring us some food? I said, well, I'm going to sneak there. I'm not supposed to. He said, I'll be coming on the car rather than going on the train with all the lads. He said, I'm going to do a little quiet one then. I said, but I'll bring you some food. He said, all right. He went, yeah, I'm going to sleep in this boat again tonight. And off he went. I mean, you can't make them stories up, can you?
I think people who know you lads would all describe you as characters, but you're not talking about yourself. Anyone else who's gone to the game for the years, well, tell us about someone.
There's loads of characters.
I know.
Without going into it too deep, and we don't want to mention names for whatever reason,
yeah,
but we've all been on the borderline of it. You can go back to the casuals in the 70s with the Interrail and the Transalpino, etc. When we used to go over there and get the clothes, which you didn't have in this country at the time, so we used to get them over there, bring them back home. And it was us, it wasn't the Scousers, it was United who sorted all that out. I've no doubt about that, because we was all over there in them days. But as regards characters, then there's loads, but one about Paraffin. We did a pre-season in Aberdeen, and we went up there, and was all on the lus. And we went up for a fortnight, but these came up on the coach for the weekend. It was West Ham and what have you. But Parafin was up there with us, so we were having a mooch about. And he was a bit smelly, as it happened, because that was life.
Yeah. Well, he was living rough, effectively,
yeah,
wasn't
he? Right. He was living rough, and that's why we should help him out with a bit of dosh and a few pints. And like, United's a family, you look after your own. But we've seen his clothes and the washing line. I thought, they'll fit Peter. So as, honest to God, Andy, as we're walking along, we're getting the clothes off the clothesline and taking his clothes off. We've got him a cardigan, got new strides. Honest to God, he looked $1 million. And that was him done for about 6 months. That's what you did. That's what you did.
So some fella in Aberdeen, he will have gone to get his washing
in. And they're not there.
He's probably going out that night. He's washed his best clothes. And instead, Parafin Pete's walking round Aberdeen, looking like $1 million. Characters over the years. We've done 34 minutes. I've really enjoyed speaking to you. I thank you for your time. I thank you for your stories. I hope that United fans listening to this have enjoyed it as well. Thank you. And we will bring the next podcast probably from Oslo at the weekend. I'll be going there to watch Manchester United. Obviously, United are really well supported there. Have we got an update on a character?
No. Can you tell Steve Armstrong not to give this to Chaz because he'll kill me?
Right. Okay, Stephen. Right, no, I'm keeping it in. This is the unedited version. So who's your mate who's going to listen to it?
Just tell Steve Armstrong not to give it Chaz or Bradder.
Right, Chaz or Bradder. Well, they're clearly all going to listen to this and they're going to absolutely hammer you for it, aren't they? Yeah. I'm actually meeting Steve in Oslo, so we'll probably do a podcast together.
I was doing it last time in Oslo. When you went to the picture outside the pub.
Yeah.
How's one right in the middle?
Oh, one of the best nights ever in the Destiny Bar.
That's it.
In Oslo. We're going to try and recreate that night in a few weeks. I know I'm just finishing this podcast off, but when United last played in Oslo, we managed to find the cheapest bar in Oslo, which was still like £60 for a pint. And the owners were Lebanese, and we just said to them, if you sell beers for £4 a pint, we will fill this place and we will keep you going all night. And the other thing you've got to do is let us take over the music. And the bar filled up with a load of old-time United fans. It was one of the best nights out of this decade. We had the music bouncing, and then there were some lads, I mean, I knew a lot of them, I didn't know so many others. And then a lad come and pulled me, and he was an old hooligan, I didn't really know him. He said, I want a word with you outside. I thought, Jesus, what's this about? And he got me on the street, and he said, how's your dad? And I said, he's all right, because my dad had been poorly. And he said, your dad was an inspiration to my son. My dad teaches kids in Old Trafford who've had challenges, you know, and he tries to put them on the straight and narrow, get them an apprenticeship, and he talks to them in their language. So we're going on a Monday morning and say, like, those slutchy scouse bastards at the weekend, and kids have never been talked to like that before. And this lad, I'll never forget it, because outside that bar, he said, he helped turn my son's life around him. And I told my dad that. He started crying down the phone with that, because he was pretty poorly at the time. And I think, you know, when you go to matches, it's so much more than the football, and just me hearing these lads telling these stories and seeing that they're clearly mates, you've probably been mates for 40 years together. It is so much more than that 90 minutes football. And I see the players walk through the mix zone, and I work as a journalist. Some of them get it, some of them don't. Some of them will be here for 3 years. Some of them will become legends, some of them won't. But the one constant we have is this United family. You see lads all the time, and ladies, some United's best fans are female. And long may it continue, because for me that's almost more important than the game itself. Finally, we've got an offer for listeners who like beer. And I suspect one or two of you may like beer. It comes from beer52.com, and here's the deal. You get a selection of 8 small batch craft beers delivered to your door each month, along with a snack and a magazine. The magazine's called Ferment. It's a 100-page magazine and contains great stories about beers and breweries. You're supposed to learn about craft beer and enjoy an expertly chosen variety of different styles. Beer 52 is the UK's most popular beer craft club. So here's the deal. Get a free case of 8 Norwegian beers. That's not because United are playing in Norway this weekend, because this was booked a long time ago when we started talking to them. So you get 8
special Norwegian beers, and they'll be delivered to you. They're normally £24 for a case, but all you have to do is pay £5.95 for postage. And this box includes the highly rated Ink and Dagger from Amundsen in Oslo, which is a hoppy IPA, and there's another decent beer called Rala Amber Ale from Eiger. My pronunciations are probably dreadful, but I've drank them and the taste was anything but dreadful. They're really nice. To get your free beers, go to beer52.com/united. That's www.beer52.com/united, and you'll get sent through 8 special Norwegian beers. You just pay £5.95 for postage. Have a look on the website anyway, but that's an offer for United We Stand podcast listeners. Rather timely, our next podcast will be from Oslo, maybe with a kind of Ink and Dagger in our hands. I'm not sure what they sell in Destiny's Bar these days, but we're doing a podcast this weekend. We might even do a couple of podcasts because United are really well supported in Oslo, and we're going to meet some really interesting people out there. So give us 2, 3, 4 days and we'll get you the next podcast up. In the meantime, I hope that you've enjoyed this one. We're starting work on the first United We Stand of the season. The summer one's gone well, so cheers for supporting us with that one. Check out, if you've not seen United We Stand, have a look at, consider subscribing. Go to our website, udsonline.com, and there's more information there. Probably never been cheaper to subscribe to United We Stand. We're not going to increase the price this year, even though pulp and therefore paper prices have gone up. And with the absolutely shit pound, if you're living outside the UK, well, take advantage of it. Everyone else is. Until next time, goodbye.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.